Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dixie Grunner and
Chantel Renee.
We are going to have an exciting time. It's already started out funny. We just didn't record it. I went and changed and put on a shirt and whoa, it was see-through.
And she was braless.
Chantel called me on that, so then we got that straight. But hey, we got some special backgrounds for y'all today based on what we're going to talk about. I am in an abandoned church with ghosts. And where are you, Chantel?
I'm in hell.
Of course you are. You know,
every day.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about Immaculate and First Omen, right? The First Omen.
Yes.
Are we going to get to Super Sex?
Hopefully.
Okay, if so, then I might change my background for that and have a brothel in the background or something.
Or just take off your bra, you know?
not for free.
I'm trying, guys, I'm trying.
So, and also in honor, you've probably seen me drink out of this before. This is my nun tumbler, and it's very appropriate for the religious horror show movies that we're going to talk about. But Chantel, show what you're drinking out of.
Well, I'm not drinking out of it, but I do have our Sex and Horror tumbler. We still have some available, guys. You want to support our podcast and send this off to get to let other people know about us. Actually, we're going to Dallas in July, so that would be great to help us promote. We could get out some more stickers and all that good stuff. So if you want a tumbler, let us.
Yay. Yes, I love it. I should be drinking out of one of those, but I'm going to go with the nun tonight to put me in a spooky nun mood.
Well, I ain't drinking nothing, but just so y'all know, we are keeping them sanitized. They are ready and waiting for you.
This is just I guess lemon.
Y'all can't see the ones that are just listening. So I was just displaying with our tumbler that the straws do still have their covers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So cool. What have you been up to this week?
I've been working on some stuff and also like planning for the stuff I need to work on. So I've been doing a lot of planning time, making my to-do list so that I can start checking them off in order. It feels like it should be Friday already and it's just Tuesday. I got my lashes done today.
Yes. My hair done.
Yay. Okay. What color you got in there? Red?
It's kind of like a rose gold almost, but
hopefully the audio picked that up, because I didn't hear that. I heard rose gold or something like that, and that was the last thing I heard.
Yeah, it was weird. All of a sudden, my screen started doing crazy stuff.
Girl, it's that hell you're in back there. I mean, look, you got a jack-o'-lantern over there on the side. I mean, it's no wonder.
Yeah, and those guys flying overhead, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I just have to go. See, they are in church. They are not bothering us tonight. They are not going to bother us at all because they're praying.
Well, Mercury is in retrograde, folks, so we have had technical difficulties. So this is a couple of things I've been doing. I've been painting.
Oh, okay. Jay should love that one. She loves octopus.
Right. I've been all about the octopus lately. So that was my octopus. This is my bird.
Okay.
He's coming out pretty good. The others I'm still working on. I'm doing a death moth and a skull with snakes, but so far it's still a work in progress.
Nice.
And I've been making jewelry and all kinds of stuff. I'm going to be at the Wormwood and Vine Shadow Alley Market on Sunday this weekend. So selling books and stuff.
I love it. You keep that hustle going, girl. Keep it up. I guess are there any other announcements before we get into the main shebangs?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to keep upbeat. I'm so tired. I feel like I'm about to fall asleep.
Probably because you're just drinking water and lemon.
Girl, if there was anything stronger in there, I probably would be asleep.
That is true.
During the lash, you know, getting my lashes done, but because I when my eyes are closed, I'm just out. But I go in there with my headset. This is actually a music, you know, I can turn this on. And I go in there with it on, and I take my horror blanket, and I go to sleep when I'm in there. I go in there and play.
I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sounds like a good plan.
I know what'll wake me up. Let's talk about something exciting. Let's talk about which one you want to do first. So I saw them in order of, okay, so you saw Immaculate first, and you told me that I'd probably enjoy it. I looked at the IMDb rating. It was lower than Late Night with the Devil. So we ended up seeing that together. And I did a double feature with Jace, my friend Jace, the also cover model of my Sleepy Willow books. And we went to see the first Omen, and then I was like, let's see Immaculate 2. And that was back-to-back religious horror, but they were both so good, but still so different that I don't get them confused. Like, they were very good in their own right. You can keep doing these movies over and over and over again, and they can still be exciting.
And I guess we're going to have to tell people there's going to be spoilers, because there's really no way to talk about these two movies and not have some spoilers, because they are essentially about similar topics, about a birth of a child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Both, so, I guess. I might be getting them confused, but I think, weren't they both? Well, one was supposed to be the savior. You see, I got paint on my fingers. One was supposed to be the savior, and the other was supposed to be the antichrist.
The children. The antichrist. Yeah, but I mean, one was a clone savior, and the other was an antichrist straight from the beast.
Yes.
Okay.
From the jackal.
Yeah. So let's just separate them, and we got a lot of air between what we're saying, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm not going to edit that out. It's just gonna stay in there. Just know that we're still going. You're not missing anything. We're just thinking. We're spitballing as we go.
We are old. We have to think. We have to process.
Yeah.
And it's all fucking right. Late.
Yeah. All right, so, hey, let's just do the first Omen first.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, with the first Omen.
Yes, I liked it a lot.
Okay. I know you were probably, like, I was ready to dive right into Super Sex. I know these are going to be your jam. What do you want to say about the first Omen?
Well, I'm going to have to say that it was surprisingly good. I enjoyed, of course, as always, I enjoy anything that takes us back in time. This was back, I guess it would have been like 60s in the European area. And it was a really interesting, I think I wasn't sure. So this nun shows up to this abbey. And it's like the retirement home for other nuns, but also it was really confusing, but also the place where children were being cared for and the birthing of local people's children. It was really kind of a weird thing. And at first it was a little difficult to follow. I was like, what's happening? But then as the movie went along, you understood why that was. This is essentially the story of Damien from The Omen, his mother, his real mother. So I like that they didn't try to revamp The Omen, though I'm not sure if they're going to or not.
I hope so. I hope that was the point of this, because this is kind of like a prequel. So, but since it's a reboot with different characters, different actors and all that, I hope that they're planning to bring it back, which is interesting because we talk about why do they keep regurgitating the same old stories. But I mean, since you went back into this world, you might as well just keep it going. So now just bring out another Damon since we are back into this world again. Yeah. That's
And I would agree with you. I feel like I watched the original Omen after because I was like, gosh, what did happen in that? And the thing with, I love classic horror, obviously. And I loved Omen for what it was. But it was in a time when the world was very innocent, so to speak. I'm doing air quotes here, guys. Even though it was probably one of the most chaotic times in our history, coming out of the free sex and drug movement and moving into the rock and roll time and all that sort of thing, punk rock time and all that era in the 70s. But when you watch the original Omen, you realize pretty quick that it's not very plot heavy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like it's very like you're seeing this woman who's like telling this rich man what he can and can't do with his own kid, and the mother gets killed. I mean, it's just really random. Mm. So I think back then that was the thing, right? Because we had Rosemary's Baby, we had The Exorcist. Now, The Exorcist was a lot more gory and there was a lot better plot than The Omen, I felt. I mean, I get it. It's the Antichrist, but we just had a lot of growling dogs, a lot of inappropriate behavior, and just like old men chasing each other around. So I hope if they bring it back, that they add a little bit more to that plot that makes it a little more complex is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, this did feel a lot more like there was a lot more plot woven in. So I was which was a pleasant surprise because so since you already said we're gonna do spoilers, this is you know my first impression of it. So as the nun is coming, you're beginning to know who she is and how she relates to this girl. She's particularly fond of this one chick. She feels like she sees herself in her, which is interesting because they happen to be sisters, really. But she sees a similarity with her. And so the opening scene, I really loved, you know, how the priest had his head sliced in the back. I was like, oh, yes. So like Five Nights at Freddy's, for instance, I watched that the other night with the fam, and the opening scene, I was like, I'm not going to like this movie. And the opening scene was like, they got ready to show someone being hit, and as soon as it comes down, they cut to a different scene. And I was like, oh, that tells me right now that these people are not willing to go where they need to go with this movie. And sure enough, I fell asleep on it. I was like, oh, because I could tell from the first scene. It's the same thing with Warrior. When we were watching Warrior, right from the jump, I was like, oh, I'm going to love this show. And it ended up being one of my favorites. So from the opening scene of the first Omen, I was like, yes, because we have the priests are talking and he's basically letting him know there's a big secret. And he wants it to be over. He wants it to be the end. And you can tell he means I want to die. And the scaffolding, you know, there's some glass and shards and all that kind of stuff kind of falls. And we know something has happened. And I love when they turn around, they show it. Now, I was expecting the pole to be still stuck in his head or something like that. And it wasn't that. But at least they showed the whole slice. And so that told me they are willing to go there in this movie. So they didn't disappoint me in that. They went everywhere. They fulfilled it. It was gory. Even down to the beast being shown, because I was like, they actually have
nightmares. I mean, her nightmares were fantastic with the vagina and the hand coming out. And
the spiders. The spiders. Yes,
the spiders.
They came out. I felt like they were right in there. It's like, ugh. So in terms of storytelling, okay, I enjoy the writing on the show. I did enjoy the acting and all that. But I also, we watched this actor evolve. In the beginning, she seemed very demure, very quiet, very prissy and all that. You know, she was a very proper nun. Well, she was not officially. She was coming to become official. But as time went on, as she developed, that part in the after the car crash, when they were, she couldn't get away and she was brought right in front of the church. And she got out and she was doing that thriller scene. Yeah, that looked like it was something straight out of Thriller. I saw an amazing actress right then because she was so different from the girl we had seen all this time before. She turned into this scary villain at that moment as she, you know, she was heaving because she was going into labor or her stomach was growing. Something was happening. I can't remember. But her belly was growing. The pregnancy was happening. What was happening there?
Well, her pregnancy went from zero to full-fledged pregnancy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think you find out later that she herself is the product. And it makes me crazy because it's like, did they read my book? I was writing it. How the fuck did they? It's almost so similar to my plot. So the jackal is her father, but he also impregnated her mother, who was born, and then had her, and then he impregnated her as well. So her father impregnated her, and so she has Damien from the inbreeding of the jackal.
When they were showing the picture saying, you know, we're looking for this person and all that, like I right from the jump, when they kept acting like it was this other chick, I was like, you are looking at the wrong one. This girl is having some of these hallucinations too. She's having the dreams. All the symptoms you all are saying this other girl is having, she's having the same thing. I think it's her. She's actually the one. So I picked up on that. But then I was like, oh, maybe I'm wrong when they showed the 666 in the other girl's mouth. So then I was like, yeah. I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe it wasn't her. So I did not make the connection that they were actually related, that it could be that there were two of them. You know what I mean? So
well, there was multiple. That's right. What they were trying to tell us, multiple.
Right.
But they had been the two that had survived, but the other one was too young to be impregnated by the jackal. But she wasn't. She was the right age.
Right, right.
So technically, I guess they were related. They were like sisters.
Right. So basically, these people. So, and that was the thing, too. I started thinking, I was like, I bet all these people are in on it. Now, I did. So, you know, right from the jump, when, you know, something has happened, because she wakes up looking all wild. So she, her friend, a quote unquote friend. But her friend took her out to for dancing and drinking on the eve of her ceremony, of her officiation. And that just seemed like a weird thing because she was so adamant about, come on, let's go. And then she just wakes up not knowing what's happened. So we kind of can surmise that something has happened between her and this guy. And so I kind of thought later on that maybe the guy had impregnated her during that time, but I didn't realize that the whole ceremony was a part of their cultism, their ritual, so that the actual beast could come and lay with her and get her pregnant that way. So that was an interesting twist.
Yeah, and what's great, I mean, the whole time we're seeing her kind of I have to rewatch it because we see her having, I don't know if it's flashbacks or some sort of clairvoyant vision of what's about to happen to her. So I can't remember when she started seeing all those things. It was after or before she went out with that other nun. So it's such a good movie. It's so complex. There's so many different details to it. I just think they hit it out of the park with this one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a thumbs up, two thumbs up. Because even being able to figure out a lot of it, there was still a lot of it I didn't know.
Yeah, and they had some really great scenery. It was some really great, I mean, we're not giving you all the details, but it's definitely fantastic. Even like there's a point where she goes underground, and isn't it that one she goes underground? Oh, no, that's Immaculate. Never mind.
Oh, you're talking about Into the, okay. Well, I was thinking underground as in when they were doing the ritual when they took her there, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what was, okay, my favorite scene was when the guy, when she tracked him down and she was like, what happened? You know, and he's trying to get away from her, like, go ask them or something. You know, he's about to get hit by a car. They didn't necessarily show that it was on purpose, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. And then he gets trapped between the car and the wall. And this is why I'm like, well, how come they can't just, he can't just move the truck, but the truck is not starting up. So he's trapped in the wall. She goes over there. She's like, oh my God, what's happening? And she was trying to hold him and comfort him. And then she finally brings him away. I was like, oh my God, she done ripped him in half. I think that was my favorite part when she's just holding the top half of him. Yeah, that's a big spoiler, but you all were warned.
Oh yeah, it's pretty gory, which I think they did a great, great job in doing. I don't know what my favorite part was. I liked the fire scene a lot when we saw the jackal go up in the flames. Of course, I always love it when the bad guy gets it in the end. But there was so much about it that I enjoyed. I definitely liked it a lot better than some of the movies I've seen this year, some of the horror I've seen, which is even including Midnight with the Devil. Show with the Devil or what it was called. I liked it a lot, but this one I think I liked more.
Late Night with the Devil. Yeah, these two were hands down way better for me. Late Night with the Devil. But you know, I didn't connect with that much except for the possession parts. But in this, you know, from pretty much the beginning to end, they had me, even on the slow parts where we were getting character development, learning who she is and attaching to whether we care about her or not, I was still like on the edge of my seat, like what's happening, what's going to happen, because you know that it's still flowing. The nuns are, you've got one who they kept throwing in surprises too. You had one with the markings on her feet. You had another one who dived herself off of a building, you know, at the top of the building, unalived herself. So having all these different components happening just added to the horror element. It added to the suspense. So the suspense in and of itself was kind of terrifying. Like, what in the hell is happening? And, you know, we know from how, what was that movie? Midsommar. And Hereditary, how scary these rituals when you get a bunch of people together that are don't mind sacrificing any and everybody for their cause. And actually, that's the big thing between these two movies. And this is the big thing with religious horror anyway, to me. It's kind of like religious fanaticism is dangerous. Like, it is very dangerous. Like, you cannot argue with someone that believes that they are doing the right thing from a religious perspective. Like, there is no convincing, there is no arguing, there is no reasoning with them. They, if they believe that it is divinely ordained, that's it.
Yes, very true. And you're right, this really brought that home. Actually, both movies did. So let's talk about the second movie.
Yes, both of them did. Immaculate. I thought Immaculate was chef's kiss. First and foremost, I knew I wanted to see it. I mean, I like the girl. The girl's in a lot of stuff right now. She's the one from Euphoria. But I also saw her in the rom-com that was out, and now she's in this. She's everywhere now. But I was so excited to see Alvaro Mort in this film. He is the he's a professor on Money Heist, the Spanish movie. Y'all know I love the Spanish shows, the Spanish show, not movie. But I watched it during the pandemic, and I got really hooked to them. And so it was great to see him. I love seeing him in American cinema now. Hey, I hope this is the beginning.
Yeah, he was great. So what made you love this movie? Like, was it, what about it was really something you really loved?
Okay, I really love anytime they take something biblical and twist it. You always got my attention there, because I do that a lot in my stories. I will take something religious. And that's what's funny with having a religious background. People don't know that, but I know what you know. So I can twist it all kinds of different ways. I know the information. People just assume I don't because I don't go to church. So that's always a very interesting thing, because I know, you know, like people will try to run some scripture or whatever, and it's like, but this one says this and this one says this. Like, I have the knowledge. I know, I have the information. So I love twisting it for fictional purposes. Speaking of which, there is another movie called The Book of Clarence that I believe does a beautiful job with it. Lakeith Stanfield is the main man in that one. The Book of Clarence is another one that takes it. There are some things that have some, even if you're not twisting it, the parts of the Bible or any type of religious text, the Quran or, you know, anything, everything is not spelled out. So there's plenty of spaces for ambiguity. And wherever that ambiguity is, we can pull something out and make a story out of it. Like, there's so many different twists that you twists and stories that you can extract just based on imagination, because it's not spelled out. So for me, that relic that they had, the nail that was struck into Jesus's hand, or was it his foot? I can't remember which one it was. But they took that nail and they got his fragments off of it. Spoiler alert for anybody, this is a major plot. This is the plot. So they realized that the relics that they have, they believe that they have power in them, period, right? And so they realized that they don't just have to have to, they don't just have to, it doesn't just have to be the blood of Jesus. There is fragments, there's parts of his material, his
DNA.
Yes. So they take that and they start trying to bring about the Antichrist.
No, the new Christ. I'm sorry,
the Savior. They're trying to bring back the second coming of Christ. Basically.
Yes.
So they want to go ahead and kick things off. So they're both, that's what we were saying before. Both of these movies are kind of doing the same thing, but for much different reasons. So one, it's like they don't believe in the church anymore. And so we have to come up with a villain for them to want us to save them. You got to be able to have this villain in order for us to be the salvation. So we got to make sure there's still a villain. So we're going to create this Antichrist. That's what the First Omen was doing. And in Immaculate, they're basically wanting to recreate the birth of the original Christ. So we know the story that Jesus, his mother was a virgin, and Joseph was his not his biological father, but he was the man that stepped in as his father to take care of him. So Jesus was God's son. This is from the biblical text, the biblical interpretation of the text, okay? And Jesus is the son of God, but also the son of Mary, who was a virgin when she had him. So Jesus is supposed to be the only person ever born that does not have a biological father. So they are recreating that. meaning that they are going to have the same materials that Jesus had that they have taken off that nail. They're recreating it through a petri dish, like cloning, and they're putting those cells inside a woman so that she can give birth to the Christ again without it being a biological father. Did I explain that right?
Yes.
So I'm sorry, I get really excited about this because I'm thinking how, you know, since we're writers, how the writers were thinking and coming up with this kind of stuff, you know? So that's always phenomenal to me. Someone sat here and they took some of these modern day technologies and they applied it to some of the things that already terrifies people or that people are already curious about or interested in. And then make this huge story around that. So I love that. That element in and of itself was like, yes! You know, because that is not something we see all the time. So also, like in the Dracula Untold movies, for instance, that's what I really loved about that. When you go with how Dracula was actually like Judas Iscariot. Was that the movie? Or was it a different one? Was it Dracula 3000? Might have been the plot for Dracula 3000. But tying in these texts, so the stories that we already know, we've heard a million and one times, and then bam, extracting something out of it and making a much bigger deal out of it because there was some ambiguities we can rattle or something that we can twist in there. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I definitely will. I at first I would say I was mildly interested. I was like, okay. It wasn't really like, now she like grew her pregnancy normal. And so that's why I was like, I think a mother would be much more terrified for this woman who basically is in this country she's not from. Because she too wasn't from that area, correct? And so... Yeah, she was transferred there. And so she had no one to help her. And she was just big and pregnant. But it jumped for me in the last moments of the movie. It went from like a 4.5 for me to like almost an 8. Because that last scene, I'm so glad they did not ruin it and show us what she birthed. Because I would have been disappointed. I think not seeing it gives the watcher a much bigger investment in what they are experiencing, because then your mind gets to take over and just think, is it a regular child? Is it a deformed child? Is it a creature of some sort? We don't know. We never get to know. And you wonder with what she, with her doing that, like she was a believer. So I don't know that it was, I want to say it wasn't regular humanoid. Like it had to have been something very different because of the way, what she did at the very end.
And it had a terrible sound. That sound that it was making. Whatever sound animal like.
Yeah. And then that makes you wonder, maybe that whole thing they did with the DNA wasn't actually from a man, but from maybe that nail was used somewhere else with like the killing of something, like a pig or something. We don't know.
Well, it's so wild because they showed us some of the other failed ones along the way. So if it was anything close to any of those, then we know it was a mess because they had some messes in those dishes, in those jars. I, at the time, was like, oh, come on, show me. I want to see it because I want to see the gore, I guess. You know, I wanted to see her pounding it too. Like I wanted to get that whole effect because the whole scene was pretty intense. We are with her as she is going through labor. And I've done
by herself.
So It is not pleasant. But the way that they let this happen, for we were with her for a long time as we could see her in agony. And Sweeney did a great job with this. She is, you could tell, she seemed like someone who was in real agony that really understood what childbirth is like. And they let that camera stay on her for a while she went through this process, which made me feel like the directors, the cinematographers, whomever was doing this, really wanted us to feel this. Like, she is really in this. You know, this is a painful, bringing about the second coming of Christ is a painful ordeal for this woman. Like, this is not an easy thing that they have put her through. And as a woman, in and of itself, this is what they have punished her with, against her will. They have forced her to endure this pain. You know, I felt like they really wanted to drive that home, that this was not a glamorous thing that was bestowed on her. This was traumatic. And so I wanted to see that rage that she was bringing out while she was beating it too. But I think you're right. I knew at the time that they did the right thing by not showing it, because that way it allows you to have your own opinion, you know, to develop your own ideas.
They were doing ultrasounds the whole time, so they never saw no double heads or nothing like that.
Right. They never did the sonograms or
the way it sounded.
Right. But I'll be honest, I think my son kind of sounded interesting, and that's why he ended up going to NICU for 4 days, because they said that he had fluid because he didn't get a good squeeze, because he ended up being an emergency C-section after I went through all that labor. So anyway, where was I going with that?
Oh, shoot.
I flash back to the day, flash back to 13 years ago. Woo, boy. They did the right thing by not showing us so that we could come up with our own conclusions, because I think there would have been too much judgment involved too. This is a horror film. But I guarantee you, people would have felt some kind of way if they'd have seen an actual human, healthy baby getting smashed.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's hard.
And I think if it was, I don't think she could have, because she did. She was a believer. I don't think she could have killed it. So I know whatever was going on with it, it was not at all
a normal looking. She didn't look like she even paused to me, though. It's like, it seemed like that was her plan from the jump. It's like, I don't even remember seeing her pause, because I was looking for that. Like, was she's gonna have some sort of moral dilemma or not? She seemed like she went straight from dropping that
thing, going
to find it and crushing it. Like, it seemed to me that there was no way in the world she was planning to let this child survive so that their plan could be brought to fruition. Like, their plan.
And I think maybe even by then, she just wasn't as much a believer as she had been.
Well, I wouldn't have blamed her. I wouldn't blame her to not be a believer anymore. Like, this is, like, what in the hell? And it's also funny how they had other women were competing with her. Like, it was supposed to be me. It was supposed to be me. I thought that was very interesting too. That's very interesting. We don't, there's no account. That would be a good story. There's no account that I know of about how other women were jealous of Mary getting all that attention. But you know they did. Just like,
you know.
Did just like these other nuns did. Like, that's supposed to be me, because when they found out she was pregnant immaculately, quote unquote immaculately, the other chicks were like, that's supposed to be me, because they were showering her with all sorts of honors and just treating her like a like royalty. And because she was the mother, I guess she was going to be the second Mary.
Yeah.
Second Mary. So
but then she was like, y'all people are nuts.
Yeah. They did a phenomenal job with this. It's one of those things that will stay with me.
Well, for me, I enjoyed The Omen better.
Okay.
Than this one. And between that one and The Devil, I prefer the Devil one over this one, because that one I had much more relatable things to me. Whereas okay. You, I can see, would be more relatable to the, you know, pregnancy part of that. And I mean, I don't know. I just really liked the first Omen, the way they did her pregnancy and the scenery, the scenes, the flashes, the everything. It was just so much more. It gave me a sense of the fear of what she was going through to be with child. And especially with the child that she didn't even understand how it got in her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas this other chick just kind of was like just like almost like she was in shock the whole time.
Yeah. And in both movies, it's so disturbing how women's bodies are just used, you know? They're just there breeding for the sake of everyone else. They don't care about, not one of them cared about these actual women. They were just vessels, just to carry out what they wanted done. I believe there is a message in that also.
Oh, yeah. If you live in Texas, you know what we're talking about.
I mean, it's just. This is what we want, and we are going to impose it on you, and you've got to realize how important. And then they try to gaslight you into believing that this is for your own good. This is a beautiful thing you're doing. You are saving us. You are saving the world. This is a great thing. You know what I'm saying? But these ladies did not consent to this. Neither one of them. Neither one of them said, yeah. And they were both groomed. This lady in Immaculate, she was Ovar Mort's character, whom I really love as an actor. I just knew as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, this is going to go bad for her. Because if you cast him in this role, if he's asking these questions, it's not for a good reason. So he was asking all these things. He seemed like he was concerned, as men do a lot. They act like they're concerned, but they're really gathering data so they can use it against you.
This is true.
They could turn right around and it's manipulative. And that's exactly what he did in this. He took all the information that she gave him and he used that as a pressure point later on. Like, you wanted purpose? Well, here's the purpose. You wanted purpose. Look how amazing this is for you. So not only did he steal her autonomy, he came back and tried to make it seem like it was her idea. This is what you said you wanted this. So I, you know, that to me is also horror. Like, okay, we see the blood and the guts and all that in these films. We see the violence, but there are so many different horror elements that make these horror other than the monsters and the creatures. You know, this is why I love psychological horror so much. There are so many psychological elements in these movies that are way more terrifying to me than seeing the beast or any of the monsters. So the spiders and all that stuff that they're showing, that's nothing compared to these people believing that they are doing the right thing to force someone else to carry out their beliefs.
Yep. It was fantastic. They did a great job with these shows. It was awesome. And I mean, yeah. And And if we have, do you think we have enough time to talk about super sex?
We can make that a separate one. Change our backgrounds and throw on a different. Because I don't think we're going to have enough time for it. We're already at 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, we can come back to it. But I was just going to say that all the movies we're talking about are definitely, to me, a lot of messages about females and their choices with their bodies and the things that they have gone through and the things women do in their lifetimes. Like, you know, these two movies specifically are about having children to give. And that's the other thing too, right? Immediately it's like, this was your purpose. Like, what? Come on, you know? And there are so many men, even right now on, even right now on TikTok and all that, men are like, oh, women need to be more traditional and they need to be willing to have our babies and all this bullshit. And it's like, come on now, you know, this world could use with a little population thinning. So, you know, they said, it was so funny. We watched, you sent me this thing this week about a woman talking a bunch of smack about, you know, men, but not in a way that's like actual. It was more of a logical, this is the conclusion she was drawing of, this is what's going to happen if we have too many men. They're going to create a war for y'all to go off and fight because y'all are single and you're all here just fighting each other and acting stupid. And now look, it's an actual war around the corner for us, I think. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting world how art is emulating life, as always.
Yeah. Now, this is what's interesting. Like, collectively, are we making it happen?
I mean, I definitely could see that, right? You know,
we're creators. Everything, yeah.
Thought grows into solidity. You know, solidity. It grows into something that's real.
We're creating. And that,
it starts with thought.
Yeah. All right. So, we can still record right after this. I'll just drop this right, finish this, and then come right back and we can record on Super Sex.
Sure, if you would like.
Yeah, let's do it.
Everybody, I might have another double feature on this one.
Yeah. Because
remember, y'all, she said she was tired. She woke up, huh?
Girl, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. A good movie. Like, this is me. Like, you know, that's the thing about this. This podcast, you know, is work. But when I'm doing this, like, this is me. Like, it don't get no more authentic than this. I love this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love, it's so funny because, and Jason and I are the same way. Like, it's hot. It's kind of hard, unless you're like that, to understand when we walk into the theater. It's like, like, we were so excited. Like, it's like, oh my God. And the opportunity, I mean, we went and got some more food and just went right into another theater. Like, that's, I could watch them back to back to back over and over and over again all day, all night, and then talk about it. You know, I love that. This is exactly what I love doing. So, yes, I was about to fall out in the beginning, and now I am wide awake. I'm ready to rock and roll because I'm passionate about it. Like, this is what I love doing. So.
Well, there all you right, go, guys. Make for super sexual. Take a bra off.
I told you, not for free.
Anybody got some singles?
You can start with 1,000. Work out way from there. I take some. What do you call it? What is the
Bitcoin?
Word? An auction. No, we have an auction.
Oh, there you go.
Get my Cash App. Minimum is 1,000.
All right, y'all.
Thank you all for listening and watching. Come back for our discussion about Super Sex next, which is Rocco Siffredi, who is the Italian Stallion. It's a show about his life. All right, bye.